to the People's Show. Josh Elliott Wolf here with you for one whole hour. Get excited. Get pumped. Best hour of your life, some would say. Maybe not. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio, Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. We got Elon Chark here as well. We got Victor Gaucher. It was supposed to be Bic Nazar hosting today, making his triumphant return. He is sick. Sick of working, I assume. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. You could get your texts in throughout the show. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. On the show today, some baseball talk. Everyone's going to love it. Bob Nightingale is going to join us at 3:30. We're going to talk about the Blue Jays a little bit. We'll go around the league. And recent news, the Oakland Athletics and the whole mess of a situation that's going on there. We'll get into that with Bob Nightingale in the next hour. Also, it's Guys Naming Dudes today, so get pumped. I did say it was going to be the best hour of your life, and it'll end that way with Guys Naming Dudes. And I'll tell you the theme later. It's on brand, I promise. But right now, it's time for the B.
Josh, recent article from ESPN came out today. The NHL Awards watch, and apparently the Norris Trophy is a tighter race than anybody thought. I'm kind of shocked about this.
It's insane, man. So the Coles notes of it all is a couple voters, and by the way, this is Greg Wyshynski polling people for ESPN, and the people he is polling are the ones who would be voting on the specific awards. So these are like informed opinions and people that are actually going to be voting for the Norris. So these are guys, it's not like they're just making things up. These are things that might actually happen. A couple voters saying Yossi could steal the Norris from Quinn Hughes. I mean, the Nashville Predators, they've been great recently. I get it. Roman Yossi has been a big part of that. Very good defenseman. Worthy of a nomination. Should not win the award. There is no world where he should, quote-unquote, steal it. Some of the reasoning was that, I mean, he's the guy in Nashville. And I kind of get that. Look, the Predators, they're not as talented as are, so maybe Quinn Hughes help. But that being said, also, a team standing with better results. So I think it's all reflected and it all kind of goes together. I see no world where, especially with the limited runway left, where Roman Yossi should be catching Quinn Hughes in terms of winning the Norris. Again, nomination for Yossi, fine, whatever, I get it. The bigger concern, the guy that's coming up way more, is Cale Makar. And he's very good. He's good at hockey. He's a good defenseman. Some would say one of the best, if not the best, in the NHL. But not this season. Quinn Hughes has been the best this season. And so one person saying Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar are neck and neck, quote unquote, but gave Makar the edge. So voting for Makar because he has a few more goals than Quinn Hughes. That is just nuts reasoning, man. Like I get it. You're just looking at their stats. Their overall points are close enough. And you look at one guy who has three goals more than Quinn Hughes. So you're like, that's enough. That'll do it. He earns my vote. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And it feels like people are trying to make the case. You have to convince yourself that someone other than Quinn Hughes should win the Norris. And that's kind of my issue with it, is if you have to convince yourself that someone else should win, just vote for the guy who is the more logical option. And Quinn Hughes this year, he's the guy. It doesn't make sense to vote for anyone else. And another thing that came up, another argument in this article, was that Makar is playing shorthanded minutes for Colorado, about 2.5 minutes on average, shorthanded. Quinn Hughes, maybe around 30 seconds. He's not playing that much shorthanded this year. That is not bad. Like, if if Quinn Hughes was playing more shorthanded minutes, it wouldn't be great for the Canucks. That's not where you want to use his talents. But I also don't think the Avalanche want to be using Cale Makar and whatever minutes he has on the penalty kill. That's not an ideal use of Cale Makar. And that's reflected in the stats, because on the Avalanche, he is the worst defenseman in goals against per 60 shorthanded on that team. So, yes, he's playing shorthanded. He's also not great shorthanded based on what's happening so far and the results. And, hey, maybe he's fine on the PK, but he's not. It's not a reason to look at and say, oh, just because this guy's playing minutes in a specific situation, that is not enough reasoning to take the award away from the rightful winner in Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, Josh Yossi, amazing, let's say, the last 20, 30 games this award's for throughout the whole season. Comes down to Hughes and Makar. I think Hughes has clearly been the best defenseman in the league, and the sports books have him favored at minus 500 to win the award.
Mm-hmm. So, not even, like, maybe these are the voters just trying to, you know, spark some controversy late in the season, try to make it more of a race than it actually is. But, I don't know. It's Quinn Hughes, to me, is the guy of those three that makes the players on his team the most improved. And Cale Makar, look, he's done that in the past. I think this year, that is Nathan MacKinnon's team. He is driving everything for the Colorado Avalanche. And I don't see a world where Quinn Hughes does not win it this year.
Let's say there's a beautiful world coming up where all the Canucks players are healthy.
Wow.
No injuries.
Dare to
dream.
Going
into the first game of the playoffs, Josh, I'm curious to know, what are your ideal lines for the first game of the playoffs?
So I've seen this question a bit on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. So if you have ideal lines for the playoffs, text them in, 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. I will do my best to get to them throughout the remainder of this half hour. But my ideal lines, and is it like, look, they have to be healthy for this to be a realistic scenario, because right now with the way the top six is, you just don't really have enough pieces to make this work. But what I would like to see is Mikheyev, Miller, Besser on the top line, Hoglander, Pettersson, Lindholm as the second line. I think you need to give Lindholm and Pettersson some more run as a duo. And I know, like, you haven't committed to it, and hey, maybe Lindholm is a better center. I get it. But also, you need more punch in your top six. I think Lindholm is that guy. And by the way, for the first line, Mikheyev, Miller, Besser, I really like the way those three played together in their limited run. I know Mikheyev had some trouble scoring. He's never going to be a guy that scores a lot. It's unfortunate. It's the case. I still think he helped improve that line, and he was a good complementary piece. If you really want to get into it, you can put Pew Suter there, but I think he maybe works better lower down the lineup just based on giving you another center, because my bottom six would be Dakota Joshua, Teddy Bluger, Connor Garland. And then on the third line, on the fourth line, I would go Vasily Podkolzin, Pew Suter, and Sam Lafferty. And hey, if Canucks coaching staff trusted Sam Lafferty as a center, I'd probably put Suter in the top six with Miller and Besser, but they don't seem to do that. So I'd put Suter as the fourth line center, and then you got Podkolzin and Lafferty on his wings. It wouldn't be a great line, but I think the line would be decent enough that you could get by. 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, and we get the first text is the exact same lineup I just had. So maybe we're all working together here on the same unit. The next text, 650-650. Is Joshua, and then Joshua. So, I mean, that would be great. Bunch of big dudes, soft hands, great penalty kill. And that's the dream, though.
Yeah, Josh, let's take this one step further. Give me your power play one line.
Power play one? Okay. Here's my issue. Is I don't know if I want Lindholm on the top power play, mainly because we haven't seen it in an extended run yet. Theoretically, he should be the guy that goes on power play one if you're just going based off potential and talent and all of that. But I just don't know if he has the trust from the coaching staff yet to be there. What I will say, I do not like Connor Garland on power play one, and it's something they've gone back to in recent games. I don't love it. I just don't think he's enough of a threat with any specific trait, and that's kind of what you need to have to be on power play one. I mean, you look at it, JT Miller has his playmaking. Brock Besser has been an elite net front presence for the team, and he's also been decent in the bumper when they put him there. He has a shot. We all know that. Elias Pettersson, another good playmaker. When he's on, his shot is lethal. It's a huge threat. And Quinn Hughes, we all know what Quinn Hughes can do. He is unreal on the power play. So Lindholm, if he was there, he also has a shot. He's a guy that I think could be a net front presence as well or in the bumper, but he just didn't really get the run there. I might consider putting Dakota Joshua net front. And I would have to see it for some games before I'm fully sold on it. That's the one that in my head is like ideal. And if it worked, it would probably be the best formation the Canucks could put out there. But we also don't know if it would work. And that would also move Besser to the bumper, which might be an issue. Maybe you want him more as a net front guy. And the other issue that comes up with it is they seem to really like to have JT Miller when he's on the left flank with a left shot option in the bumper. And that for the Canucks, that's just they're very limited in guys they can go to there. And that's why we've seen Pew Suter in the bumper. I don't know, though. It's pretty much between Lindholm and Joshua. If you're not going to give Joshua a run, I'd say just put Lindholm there and hope they all figure it out. But I would like to see Joshua at least get a few chances on the top power play unit.
With Hoglander's kind of surprising success on 5-on-5 this year, scoring, why don't you think he gets another shot on that power play?
I just don't know if he has – it's the same situation as Garland, where I'm like, this guy's a great player. He's – for Hoglander, he's gotten a lot of goals. He can finish in tight, but I just don't know if he has a defining quality that makes him power play one worthy. I think he should be on power play two. And Rick Tocchet has said, hey, there's still some things he has to work on power play two just to make that unit better as well. Theoretically, he's probably earned a shot to be on power play one. But again, I just don't think he has something that separates him and makes him someone that you have to put on power play one. And an example I'll bring up is like Jonathan Lekkerimäki. When he makes it to the NHL, his shot is already so lethal that it's probably going to put the Canucks in positions where they have to give him more minutes on the power play and they have to figure out how to use his shot even more. Hoglander doesn't have a quality like that. His is more, hey, he's relentless. He's a guy that's going to get in on the forecheck. He's a guy that's like, he can make stuff happen, but a lot of it is based on 5-on-5 play and doing things down low. And I just don't know if I need to see him on power play one. And so that's why I wouldn't put him there. But hey, if you're experimenting with things right now, maybe give him a shot. There's just other guys I would like to see there before Nils Hoglander.
Yeah, and as we're getting closer to the playoffs here this morning, I was taking a scroll through the betting apps, seeing what futures I can
place.
As
one does, yeah.
As one does. Taking a look at the updated Stanley Cup odds. I'll just do a quick list here, Josh. Dallas Stars, plus 700. New York Rangers, plus 700. Edmonton Oilers, plus 750. Colorado Avalanche, plus 750. Carolina Hurricanes, plus 800. Boston, plus 800. The Vancouver Canucks, plus 850. The Florida Panthers, plus 900. Golden Knights plus 1,000, Winnipeg plus 1,500, and Toronto and Tampa Bay at plus 1,600. A lot of good value there, Josh. If you had to choose, you know, putting your money where your mouth is and a good value bet, who are you picking?
It's not Vancouver. I'll say that. I'm honestly pretty surprised. Like, if I told you right now, Stanley Cup odds, not like winning the division, not anything based on the regular season, but Stanley Cup odds, that Vancouver was going to be less of a long shot than Florida and Vegas. Like, that's surprising, is it not? Florida was there last year. The East is relatively wide open. I know Carolina and Boston are threats. the Rangers as well you throw in there, but Florida, like, they're right up there. And Vegas especially, they're heating up right now, getting healthier. They look scary, defending champions. If I had to say best value of those options, I'd probably go Vegas. Vegas or Florida, honestly. Florida at plus 900, Vegas at plus 1,000. Those feel like the ones to me where that's the best bang for your buck in terms of, hey, why is this team so low, in my opinion?
Yeah, what would you do? What do you think the biggest surprise on that list is?
I almost want to say Vancouver at plus 850.
Too high.
Yeah, like too high. I thought it would maybe be Vancouver at plus 1,100 or something like that, or around plus 1,000 in the Vegas territory. Other than that, Vegas, I thought, just based on reputation, would be at least at the Colorado-Edmonton level of plus 750, you know? And by the way, if you want to bet on it, you can bet on it, but I'm just throwing out guesses here. So don't take my advice as gospel, please. I don't want to be responsible for anyone.
Yeah, another future that caught my eye was the Country of Cup winner. It's always a good one.
Yep.
USA minus 330 and Canada plus 240. We got Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Toronto. Josh, could this be the year?
Could this be the year? So the U.S., like, so Canada, it's obviously only the four teams. You have theoretically a 1-4 shot. How confident are you? Let's take Edmonton and Vancouver off the table. I'm confident in Winnipeg, like, winning a round, maybe two, if things go their way. I don't know if I'm confident in them actually winning a cup, though. You know what I mean? Like, going all the way, doing that. Toronto, same boat. Like, I'm not fully sold on them. I feel like they can't get over their own hurdles, and they get in their own way, and that's an issue. Really, it's Edmonton or Vancouver. And, I mean, Dom and I had a big debate about it the other day. I think Vancouver just isn't in a position yet to fully, you know, go on a run. They're going to make some progress. I think winning a round or two would be very, very good this year. But going from not making the playoffs to being a Stanley Cup winner, that is a very, very almost impossible task, especially for a team that has not made the playoffs at all in recent years. Edmonton is the one where it's like, hey, maybe that's the team. But at that point, I'd probably just rather bet Edmonton, to be honest. And I know you get a few extra chances with the Canucks, Jets, and Leafs thrown in there, but better value, I would say, is just going Oilers for me, personally.
And are you one that if the Canucks get bounced on early, are you cheering for the other Canadian teams, or you don't care about that?
Oh, not at all. I actually cheer against them most of the time. Because, like, as someone that, hey, I grew up a Canucks fan.
As he's sitting here wearing a Toronto Blue Jays hat.
I mean, I cheer for the Blue Jays. They're my team. I cheer for my team. I don't cheer for other teams just because they're Canadian. I don't cheer for the Blue Jays because they're Canadian. I don't cheer for the Raptors.
Right, so what about players? McDavid holding up a cup?
I feel it's like a weird, it's a dilemma inside me. I want McDavid to win a cup because I feel like he should win a cup, but also I don't want him to do it in Edmonton. And realistically, like, he's probably never going to leave Edmonton, whatever. Theoretically, there's a very, very real world where he wins a cup in Edmonton at some point. Players like McDavid just eventually win a Stanley Cup. But I'm not rooting for that to happen. If the Oilers and the Leafs made the Stanley Cup final, that's where it'd get interesting. Maybe I'm rooting for the Oilers a little bit more. But generally, I just root against them. Because if I'm going to see a Canadian team win, I want it to be the Canucks. And I'm not going to take joy in another Canadian team winning the cup.
I am curious what the consensus is with Canucks fans on that question.
Yeah, text in 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. If another Canadian team, like, what if the Canucks are eliminated, do you then root for the other Canadian teams? Because some people are, like, patriotic. It's like, hey, I want Canada to bring the cup home. But I think a lot of people are just like, hey, if my team doesn't win, I don't care. And actually, I want teams that, like, realistically, are Florida fans going to be more obnoxious than Edmonton fans if they win? You know what I mean? I always go for the least obnoxious route. And usually Canadian fans can get pretty obnoxious after they win. And so that's why I'm rooting against it.
Right, but for me, I have no connection to Edmonton whatsoever. I'm not an Oilers fan at all.
Yep.
I would rather see Connor McDavid hold up the cup at the end of the season than Matthew Tkachuk.
Ah, I would
as a hockey
very much
fan.
Enjoy Matthew Tkachuk. The thing is, I feel like on every team, there's a player that you could be like, oh man, I really want to see that guy win a cup.
Yeah, but the best player in the league who hasn't got a cup yet.
He can win it later, man. Get traded first.
I think it's time.
Get traded.
Bring a cup home to Canada, McDavid.
Ah, I disagree. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. We got a few texts on that. So this one, David in North Burnaby, as the late, great Neil McRae used to say, it's just not right that anything from Toronto should ever do well. So not on board with another Canadian team winning. This one, and also from David, I'm a Canucks fan. All other teams are dead to me. This one, after the Canucks are eliminated, I would root for another Canadian team, but never the Leafs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So some people...
I'm on board with that.
But yeah, you put the qualification of like, hey, just not the Leafs. I can get that. But a few more texts. This one, if the Canucks are not in, I wish with every fiber in my body for all the other Canadian teams to get swept. So not even just lose. Lose in dramatic fashion. Make it ugly. Get those Canadian teams out of there. And another one before we move on. I'm only cheering for McDavid on Team Canada. That's fair. And that's where I kind of get it too. Is it's like, hey, those guys, I'll root for them when they're on Team Canada or they're playing internationally, whatever. If they're on another team in Canada, I do not want to see them win. I don't care. And like, realistically, I don't want any other team to win. I just kind of end up choosing a team that I would least hate to see win. And usually that ends up being Florida, for me, to be honest, just because they've never won. Luongo, constant trade partner with the Canucks. Seem like they've kind of, like, got similar vibes going on. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, but there's just something about seeing the best player in a sport for the legacy, for the aura, holding up that trophy. Especially for the first time.
But
LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Michael Jordan, Connor McDavid, he needs to do it.
Would it not be that much sweeter if he did it when he was like 34 years old?
Man.
I for his sake, on an individual level, yes, if the Oilers won, I would be happy for McDavid. But also, my happiness would be outweighed by my disgust with the Oilers winning again. What I will say is, I would take an Oilers win before a Leafs win. In terms of ranking the Canadian teams, if one of them had to win, clear front runner, obviously Vancouver. The Jets, I'd be like, you know what, whatever, go win a cup. We'll forget about it in a couple years because you're Winnipeg. And then it would go Edmonton, Toronto. All the other teams, like, obviously not in the race, but... Ottawa, if they ever make it, they can win too. That's
fine. Josh, before we go to break, I just want to ask you this real quick. Bronny James enters the transfer portal and the NBA draft.
Woo.
What are your thoughts on this?
So I might need you to explain this to me. So if he doesn't get drafted, is he still like in the transfer portal? He could go somewhere else?
Yes.
Okay. But he's going to get drafted, right?
No, he's not.
I think he's going to get drafted.
No, he's going to transfer. The rumor right now is Duquesne.
Right.
LeBron James, former coach in high school. Maybe Duke, a lot more attention on him. We do have a clip from LeBron, him talking about Bronny James.
Well, I don't know where it came from. But at the end of the day, Bronny's his own man. He has some tough decisions to make.
Yeah.
And when he's ready to make those decisions, he'll let us all know. But as his family, we're going to support whatever he does.
Josh, he averaged 4 points a game, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists in 25 games. Obviously, he suffered a cardiac arrest in an off-season workout.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy to come back from, but he's not an NBA-ready player.
I agree. I completely agree he's not an NBA-ready player. Based on, like, everything I've seen, I honestly thought, hey, like, especially after the cardiac arrest, like, give yourself some more time in college before making the jump. I just think that an owner in the NBA is going to be like, this guy we can get in the second round is going to bring in how much money? And they're just going to force a pick to happen. And that's why I think that he's going to get picked. And it also gives that team the potential of, like, potentially bringing in LeBron James at some point.
It's more than potential. LeBron has been saying this for like a decade. I want to play with my son before I retire.
Yeah. But also if like Bronny James got drafted by the Charlotte Hornets or like insert team that's not notable, I feel like it's more likely that that team would have to trade Bronny to wherever LeBron wants to go than it would be for LeBron to go somewhere. What would be interesting is if Bronny got drafted by a team like the Knicks or something like that, where it's a situation that LeBron might actually want to go to that team. I definitely think he's going to get drafted, though. That's just my vibe. Some team is just going to waste a pick on him, and that's fine because he's going to make them a lot of money. That's how it goes. We'll see, though. On the other side, Bob Nightingale going to join us. We'll get into some baseball talk here on The People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf on Sportsnet 650.